Perfect. A pole lock and a chain.
How you doing, Martin, you crazy Italian prick?
Waltz, you cheap bastard. I should have known you'd come in. I was having such a pleasant day.
What'd you do? Chew some poor blind guy out of his money? Gave him the wrong change?
Who's the nip?
Oh, he's a pussy kid from next door. I'm just trying to man him up a little bit. You see, kid? Now that's how guys talk to one another.
They do?
When you got shit in your ears?
I go on out and come back in and talk to him like a man. Like a real man.
Come on, old.
Come on. Get your ass out of here. Come on back now. Sorry about this.
What's up?
What's up, you old Italian prick?
Get out of my shop before I blow your head off, you goddamn dick-smoking go!
Jesus Christ. Oh, shit. Take it easy. Take it easy. What the hell are you doing? Have you lost your mind?
This is Douglas.
And this is Uncle Damien.
Is this like an Uncle Sam kind of deal? Are you going to start telling me where to
Uncle
go
Sam.
And what? Do I need to pay taxes to?
There's a joke that I heard about Uncle Sam. I don't remember it. It was terrific though. Bad memory. Never mind.
Okay, we have no questions. It's been a while since the question has been played.
Yes,
we blame this on the uncle part of Damien.
Yep. I was otherwise engaged today. Just know that the questions are still amazing.
We should say congratulations to uncle.
No, don't.
I don't care.
There's like 6 billion people. Pretty sure other people are having babies. Pretty sure.
What's the child's name?
I don't give a shit.
I'm going to cut that clip and send it to your sister.
I was like,
she won't care. She'll probably
find it funny. That was the questions that we were asking. Oh, what's her name? Who cares? Well, I'm here to figure that out. Probably going to hate her anyway. Doesn't make a difference.
Before
I get a little more off point, let's talk about what we watched. Andrew, what did you watch this week?
Douglas got it, heading this off at the pass. Like before Damien incriminated himself anymore.
Alright, so I didn't really watch that much this week, I think. I saw for the very first time Ingmar Bergman's The Seventh Seal. And, I mean, it's really something to be watching these films like late 50s, early 60s, because when you watch these,
looking at you, that shirt.
It's an old shitty shirt.
Christ, that shirt is horrible.
When you see these films like late 50s, early 60s, and you marvel at how beautiful they actually are. And we like to talk about movies being made today and how the technology has reached a peak. And not so much a peak, but it's reached a level where, oh my goodness, they're getting so pretty now. When you look at movies back then, they were done really well, and it's to the credit of the director. I don't think I've seen an Ingmar Bergman film before, but this movie is just fantastic. And I guess the obvious plotline of death versus this guy who is, I guess the pretentious way of putting it, is coming to terms with his morality. Mortality. It's a really good film and a really good role. It's in
Seven Seal is the one where he's going through the stages of hell.
No, it's the one.
No, that's Dante's Inferno.
Dante, right.
And Seven Seal is the one where he's playing chess with death and going through Sweden on the way back to his castle and seeing the Black Plague ruin his country as he's coming back from the Crusades.
I like the Black Plague. Rats are awesome.
Love that movie. Sadly, I wish I had gotten to it sooner. Otherwise, I saw Captain America, which was very, 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 very boring.
Yeah, I think you're like the only person on the internet that that has said that.
Like, style-wise, like, definitely...
Not everybody everybody like says this is the best superhero movie that came out this year.
Look,
so
look,
I keep reading.
Look, once you get past the first hour, mm-hmm. where you Chris Evans goes from a tiny little child mm-hmm. into Chris Evans with muscles,
mm-hmm.
Once you hit that point, the movie then becomes a montage. Where literally all your scene is Chris Evans, no, literally cuts in montage sequence form mm-hmm. where Chris Evans runs through a field of Nazis or Hydra people.
Nazis.
And because he is Captain America, touches a man and the man drops and then you continue to see him run across. And what I really hated about the action is that whenever you actually stopped and you saw like a scene of him dealing with a group of Hydra or the eventual fight scene between him and Red Skull was whenever he would throw a punch, him as well as Red Skull, because the whole idea, and I understand why it was done, I just didn't like it. Whenever he would do that, because he's Captain America and souped up on drugs, they would speed him up mm-hmm. in a certain way that made it look as if at that moment that he moved his hand forward, they switched Chris Evans with a CG character. And it just looked bad to me. I just didn't enjoy the movie at all.
Douglas, did you see this movie?
I think so.
Did you see the same movie?
I don't think I saw the same movie.
Did you enjoy Captain America?
Enjoy is a stretch. I don't share the extremism that I've seen online. I've seen
right.
extreme love and extreme hatred. Most of
I've
the extreme hatred
no
coming from
oh,
this.
Oh, okay.
I'm happy that Douglas considers me a part of this group
of the internet.
Of
yeah.
The internet.
But yeah, no, there's no way that I don't think anybody in their right mind.
No one has said it's Dark Knight level, right? No one has said it.
Ridiculously bad. Right. But at the same time, no, it was not ridiculously good. But to tell you the truth, it was a decent movie. It was.
Is that what you want out of the
yeah,
first
exactly.
movie?
I mean, it drew out a little bit at times. But that aside, the movie was fine. There were decent action parts. There were some fun, like. Jokey bits too, especially whenever Howard Stark was there.
Was Chris Evans the same Chris, like the same persona being hilarious?
What else?
Yeah, but that is what I want. I like to see that.
He was not. I don't think he was at the level of Losers, which probably played well better for me
right.
because I don't like that movie at all. Actually, I don't much like Chris Evans, to tell you the truth. But this movie...
You love Lucas Lee.
Hater Ray.
Okay, fair enough. Lucas Lee and Scott Pilgrim, that's kind of awesome. But, no, this movie was fine. It was probably average. It was a little bit above average. I think that I was a bit surprised at how technically good the movie was
okay.
because I saw a movie before this one called
The Lantern of Greenness.
No, I saw a movie before this one called Werewolf.
You're talking about Joe Johnston, the Wolfman. Something you saw. Like,
he also did Jurassic Park 3.
I know that, but at the time, I liked Jurassic Park 3 better than Jurassic Park 2.
People like The Rocketeer. I'm not one of those people.
I recently watched it when I was 10. Because I want to see how that movie is.
Oh,
right
I saw
now.
That recently and it's awesome. You know why?
Movie
because
did
I watched it when
he
I was 10.
He did The Rocketeer.
He did Jumanji.
Oh, yes. Jumanji, right.
He did... I don't know what else. Hidalgo. He did Hidalgo.
Right. That was the... Right, when he took Vega and made a shitty movie out of it.
I was about to say why... Like, because I know Andrew likes that movie.
That movie's
and the
bad.
Way that I've heard the love ooze out of his mouth a while ago, I was just like, I wanted to slap him. But
I know Hidalgo is
anyway,
the greatest movie, but I kind of enjoyed it.
But anyway, no, like, based on, you know, The Wolfman, I was... I didn't even want to go to this movie. Andrew dragged me there, and I ended up kind of liking it. It was an okay movie. It was action and a little bit of background, and that's really all you want.
Like
you
know? I was surprised that people were saying, "Oh, this is the probably the best superhero movie that has come." Because I saw X-Men. X-Men is awesome.
Oh, yeah. Like, this
so, just the mere fact that X-Men. More than one person went, yeah, this movie is really good, guys. I mean,
okay.
I was excited to see it anyway.
Am I the only one that heard Damien say that, and instead of hearing whatever he really said, all I heard was Fassbender,
anyway,
McAvoy,
anyway,
Fassbender.
actually, the truth of the matter is, whenever you're talking about that movie, it's more like Matthew Vaughn. But,
and his name is Fassbottom.
His name is Barno. It's Fassbottom. This sounds like a name that one of his sisters gave him.
Pretty much.
Yes, okay.
Pretty much.
But there's one thing that I kind of didn't like about this movie.
The fact that the message is horrible.
No, I don't care about the message. There was no
and America.
Message. No, there was no message.
America runs off steroids.
No. The thing I didn't like about this movie is what you'll notice with almost every Marvel comic book movie now, because they're really prepping. That this was
at some point there was prep for Avengers.
Yeah, it's really just a long introduction to Avengers, each and every one of these movies. And I mean, you don't see it the whole way through, but it's like you get to a point where they're like, okay, we've done telling the story and I could stop the movie now, but
before you go,
Marvel told me that I had to like somehow introduce you to this next movie.
I will say their Avengers meddling in Captain America is nowhere near as bad as Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Well, nothing can be, because that movie was, I mean, there could have been a movie made out of Iron Man 2, and instead it was all prep work for Avengers.
It was not that great. But
have you seen Captain America?
No. I'm scared about this Avengers movie.
No, listen.
It seems like there's
Damian
just a little bit too much shit
Damian
involved with this Avengers movie.
Do you know that Joss Whedon is directing this movie?
Yes.
Okay, that means that the movie, you go to the movie, it play halfway, and then there'll be a message saying it was cancelled. That's all that's
going on. Oh, right.
That's not you tonight.
I'm sorry.
That's true. I'm waiting for like two months before the movie's out there, like, we're starting over. We might use some of the footage that he shot, but this is going to work. Turns out Joss Whedon's an asshole, and that's why everything he makes gets cancelled.
I'd like someone to tell me what it is about Joss Whedon projects that just bring them
you
to
really
be
want me to tell you? You really want me to tell you? The answer is they're bad. That's an answer.
They're not marketable. He got a free pass with Buffy because teenage girls watch anything. But after that, think about all the things that he's made. Who do you market any of that to? People don't watch good things like Terriers. You think people are going to watch a space cowboy show? No. Oh, Dollhouse. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. No. No one's going to watch any of that. So they'll always get cancelled. We love him, but that doesn't change. That doesn't change shit.
One more movie.
Doesn't.
We.
Douglas is questionable.
No, I said we being film critics in general. Not me. I don't.
All right. I'm with you on that one.
Dog, I like the space cowboys thing, and that's all
you
I'm
like
on board
one?
For.
Like,
that's it. That's
like,
a wrap with everything else.
I still haven't finished it. I keep trying, and that's one of the indicators that I really just don't like.
Can
the
we
show?
Just call that show Cowboy Bebop?
No,
and not made the movie.
Bebop
and not
good.
Made the movie. No, it is real. Like, by the time you get to the end of that series, it's really good.
Really
good. I enjoy it.
I mean,
I even enjoy the movie.
It has its moments, right? But overall, it's just not that great. And the thing that pisses me off the most about that show is that the credit sequence is the worst sequence
I do hate
in
that
the
song
world.
That plays during
oh
that credits,
God.
The opening credit sequence.
It's pretty bad.
One more movie I want to mention. I saw Horrible Bosses this week.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Day is fantastic. Jason Sudeikis is fantastic.
I see a butt. flying towards
Jason Bateman is great.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell is probably the best part of that movie, hands down.
First off,
but
even before we get to the but, I have an interjection. Mm-hmm. I would like to request some sort of justification for saying that anybody was better than Charlie Day. Just please.
First of all, think about Colin Farrell in Bruges. Think about that level of acting added to a character who has thinning hair, a coke addiction, a belly, and just wants to fire disabled individuals for no reason other than he wants more money out of his company.
I've always liked Colin Farrell, even when he was making terrible movies. Really?
Okay, so we must apologize. The reason why this radio show has officially broken up and we are now just the people are dead in. The reason that is occurring is because Andrew, in his infinite wisdom, said to me before the show started, "Douglas, I cannot find
the opener. Yes.
Where is it gone?"
It
so he had to go to the kitchen and search down the kitchen to find another opener.
Right.
I just, motioned to him to give me an opener. And in my hand is the original opener that couldn't be found.
I was sitting there. That he found immediately. Not even like, wait, where's the other opener?
Why?
Because
it was right beside it.
Yes, the whole time.
Anyway, I think somebody was talking about
something.
You're
about to be stabbed.
Yes. Why did I just do that?
So, Horrible Bosses, it's actually a kind of funny movie, but the plot is kind of horrible at the same time.
Sorry,
what works with the movie are the set pieces, where, for example, they break into Colin Farrell's apartment and then he spills the cocaine all over the place. And you see them start, you see a clip of it in the trailer, they're starting to sift through the cocaine to get it back in.
Oh, yeah.
So that it doesn't look like anyone's broken into the guy's house. And at the same time, Bateman and Charlie Day have now become high off their asses. And it's actually a really funny scene, as well as the scene where Charlie Day saves Kevin Spacey outside of his own house from a peanut allergy reaction.
Sounds funny to me. I don't know what's going on over there. Sounds good.
The movie is really funny and it comes off through most of the characters and the actors who do it. And of course that scene with the man who I will always call the bunk, where they ask him about how he's drag racing with a Prius. A pretty funny scene.
Bunk is in
I don't win a lot.
He's in it just for that one scene, pretty much. I mean, it's going to be a forgettable film at the end of the year, but I enjoyed myself when I watched it.
I would forget it. Just to prove you wrong.
And I guess one more thing I really should mention. I have officially caught up with Breaking Bad. And the show is downright amazing. I'm so happy that I decided to catch up right now when the fourth season is going, because if I had to stop at the end of season 3 the way you guys had to spend a whole year waiting
pretty much
for season 4, I would be pissed off
and I'll continue to wait.
And also, you are wrong, the best character out of that show is the PI, not those two dudes.
You are so wrong. It is unbelievable.
PI, really,
dude? They put, someone wrote in a script, evil dudes, and they manifested evil people. There is no description of those characters. They needed something so evil that nothing could control them in the show, and they did it, and that is amazing. So
really
good.
Like Gus. Gus is great.
Love that. It's so good. Can't wait for the season.
So you're really going to wait for the season to end?
I refuse. There's no way I can watch one episode and then wait a whole week and go, alright, need another episode, guys. Need that fix. I can't do it. I know I can't do it. The only TV shows I can watch like that is like Top Gear, where it doesn't matter. Because they're not telling any kind of story that I need to pay attention to. Or something like Leverage, where they change the story all the time. But there's no way they tell a single story and I follow it. And I'm going to watch that week to week. There's no, like, even the last season of Dexter, I watched all of that in like 2 days and thrilled to watch it that way instead of spread across all the time. I can't do it. I know I can't, so it don't even make sense. I don't even watch the first episode. Nah. I'll just assume that it's awesome and move. Even when Walking Dead starts again, the first season I did that where I watch all of them, there's no way I'm doing it for the second season. I'm waiting until it finish and then I'll watch them.
Hey, it's almost time for Walking Dead, actually. It's coming out in September.
Is it September?
Mm.
Okay, that's going to be
amazing. I remember there was a big uproar because everybody felt it was so long until the next season.
People complain on the internet? Oh, not my internet.
Would have thought
not
that.
My internet.
I don't use your internet.
Anyway, is that it, Andrew? Did
yep,
you watch?
That's it.
Okay. This week, I actually didn't watch that much. I saw, as we said before, I watched Captain America. And other than that, there was not much until Damian came late today. So Damian decided to come a little bit late. And so I decided, you know what, I'm just going to watch TV until he comes. And in that time that I was waiting, I watched a whole season of Children's Hospital.
You watched a whole season?
Yeah, I did.
They're like 15-minute episodes.
Yeah, it's,
oh, okay.
It's it's one of the Adult Swim TV shows, the live action ones, and it's got a pretty decent cast. I didn't realize this. It has
Rob Cord.
Megan Mullally from Will and Grace. It has
never really watched Will and
Yeah,
Grace.
I know, but she's kind of funny. It has Rob Corddry. It has Michael Cera, but he's not really in the show.
Why did you tell me that? Why did you? Couldn't you just
no,
have kept that to yourself?
He's just on the PA.
Couldn't you have kept that to yourself?
It also has your guy. He's in a bunch of stuff, but you would know him best as the main caterer in your Stars show.
Patton.
Yes. The head on.
Or the guy from Veronica Mars?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not the guy that I like, Adam Scott. The one that you like.
it's getting weird.
Getting very vague.
Yes, anyway. But it has a bunch of people and all sorts of people come in like in the middle. Like, for example, there's one of the people from the league, the guy with the beard and that's rich and has the pretty wife, isn't it? I don't know people's name. Ruxin! Yes, Ruxin!
I've been watching The League recently.
I love that show. But this show is genuinely funny. It really...
So unlike every other show that's on Adult Swim.
It seems so. It makes a lot of fun of daytime dramas. And it's just ridiculous. Like, some of the things just don't make sense. And it's like that kind of humor. You're just like, really? I don't know what you're doing, but somehow you are forcing the laugh out of me. Okay. and so I'm definitely going to continue with that. And actually, I want to start watching now a different show on Adult Swim called, it has like 10 letters to it, something about anti-terrorist unit special sports utility vehicle, something like that.
Never heard
and
of it.
It looks stupid, and I'd seen
when
like,
you can say the name right, you can then like ask me to watch it.
Pitch us the show when you know the
whatever
show's name.
Dude, it looks stupid, but it has one of the guys from the league in it.
Right, I don't swim show with hates. 10 names. Okay, enter. Zero results, I guess.
but yeah, so I watched that today. As in just a while ago. I also started watching Entourage. That came back this season.
Entourage.
Final season. It's
the same shit.
But yeah.
Is Ari using an iPhone or is he still BlackBerry?
We haven't seen that yet.
No, Ari in the first episode.
No, we saw Ari, but I wasn't paying attention to the phone.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't think we've seen phones in the first episode yet.
Guys, you guys are disappointing.
But I
don't know. For some
reason,
I was paying attention to the jokes he was making.
I'll watch it. that I can watch week to week because I know what's going to happen. It's going to look bad until about the last episode, and then it'll start to go like every other season. This show is
unbelievable. One last thing that I'd like to say, and it kind of pains me to say this, and I have to apologize in advance to the creators and to everybody. I actually have not watched Breaking Bad this week.
I saw Breaking Bad.
How does it feel?
I apologize.
Does it burn?
I don't know why, but right here in between my elbow, right, it itches a lot.
Here's what you do.
Right? I need to
follow Damien. Just watch other stuff until it is done. It is the best thing in the world to watch them all together.
Hey, I hear you. That's how I did like the first two and a half seasons. Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, the episode ends and you just go, no.
Can't end there.
I don't need 8 hours, 7 hours, 6 hours, 5 hours. Do I need sleep? I'm just going to work. I'm going back to work. I don't need any sleep. I'll make it.
Yeah.
I'll make it. I'll sleep when I get back home. Don't need to sleep.
When you get back home, some more Breaking Bad to go, you know.
Never sleep yesterday. Yeah, I'll just go watch one episode. I'll probably fall asleep during next.
So like Douglas is pretty much done.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's watched. The question I've asked him to ask Damien is, now that you're an uncle, did you show some sort of restraint in your watchings this week?
What the hell is he talking about? Is he high? Fuck are you talking? Alright. So, I want to... I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff. I want to talk about Source Code. Finally got around to see it. And this movie is one of the best movies I've seen all year, hands down. Really? I love all of this movie... And there's a but coming. Somebody needs to explain what the fuck happened 2 minutes before the credits rolled.
Yeah.
Right.
But that is not the issue I have, because I have this thing called a computer which will that will never be seen by me ever again. And if I were able to reburn the Blu-ray, I'd probably do it.
Will you send your copy, your edit, to Duncan Jones and ask him to consider? Now,
the thing that annoyed me was, part of me wanted an explanation, and I know we have the internet, and it wouldn't have taken me long to find someone interviewing him and asking him what the fuck happened. And that is why I don't like commentaries, because nothing he says to me is going to make any sense. It is either going to make me hate him more or hate studios more. Because it can only be one or two things. He made a decision or some studio head made a decision. And I don't care who made it. That the movie had a perfect endpoint. In fact, when there is a freeze frame shot at the end of this movie, at the end of my version of this movie, that is perfect. If the movie ended there, this movie would have been, honestly, like a 90-95%. I love start to finish. Just a twist on the Groundhog's Day formula and the acting. I mean, I thought I enjoyed Jake Gyllenhaal before he finally... I know we'll watch anything that he's in. He has earned my respect forever. Duncan Jones, he did Moon, so he got a free pass for life.
A quick question before you, I know you have more to say on this movie, but compared to Moon, what would you say, which one is better? And this, by the way, will tell whether or not I'm still friends with you.
Fair enough.
The fact that you have to think hard means that I'm not going to be your friend.
If the version of Source Code that you and I saw is worse than Moon because the end destroyed all credibility. My version, the director's cut of the source Damian code, the Damian cut. It says DC. I just assumed it was director's cut, but I might be wrong.
The internet would make that mistake.
I might be wrong. It might be Damian's cut. My version. You need to understand. I love Groundhog's Day.
Me too. I'm the biggest fan.
And so to get a sci-fi twist on that is, I mean, it is amazing to just watch it. I enjoy that movie so much. Moon is terrific, but I haven't seen Moon in about 3 months.
So you're using bias of recency?
Yes. That is not actually a term. Recency.
Is recency a
no,
word?
It's not a word.
It's number three right now.
I think I know what you're trying to say, and I'm going to go along with it. Moon is better.
Whoa,
because
quick.
Moon.
I'm still on the second.
Moon provided. Moon provided something that I didn't think was possible. He took $0 and gave me one of the best narratives about a space movie that I'd ever seen. Nothing came close. I couldn't believe that he was able to make a movie that good. And in terms of performances, what Sam Rockwell was able to do in Moon, I still don't understand how he didn't win anything that year. As bullshit. Give a damn what the Oscars say. As BS. This movie isn't as good as Moon, but I still love this movie. He has two perfect movies for me. Not perfect in the sense that they're 10 out of 10 and there's nothing wrong with them. Perfect in the fact that if I see these movies going on at any time, I'll watch these movies. And I will never not enjoy seeing these movies. As long as I never see the end of Source Code again. That is horseshit.
Right,
it
now,
is
right now,
so
I'm
bad.
I'm imagining a scene. You know, Damon's at home. He just got back from work. He's like bored. He sits down. He turns on the television.
All right, that scenario never happens.
HBO comes on. Like, no, he just HBO randomly is on because like his sister left the TV on that. Right? And then Source Code's last 2 minutes is playing at that moment.
I'd kick the TV. Or flip the breakers or plug out all the cables.
Like I just named
throw myself outside. So it reminded me of Sympathy for Lady Vengeance. How that ending was. I mean, that ending is pointless. This ending is terrible. It ruins the movie. I don't even know what they were trying to achieve with that ending. It's so stupid. I don't care. I've read, well, you know, it's the director's vision and whatever. I don't care what the director's vision is. Honestly, I don't care. I don't want an explanation from anybody. I just want that to disappear. And I'm going to make sure that it disappears. I don't want to see that shit again. Right? I want 5 years from now, it gets to the point where I didn't even remember that there was something beyond that point. I've been doing this with music for years, especially with Kanye. Whenever Kanye sings, and then I just delete that. And there's this one song, 1999 by Come On.
Oh, Come On.
Right.
Come On?
Right.
What is that then?
Still Getting Mine in the 1999.
Oh,
right.
I see. Yeah, okay.
And there's this guy that sings at the somewhere in that song, and it was only recently I was watching Brown Sugar where I remember that he is actually it. I've been listening to that song for so long, my edited version, that I literally forgot that now I heard him come on and went, oh, holy shit. Alright, that's in the song. The reason I watch Brown Sugar, I do it every now and again, is because the first 4 minutes of that movie is them asking rappers when did they fall in love with rap, and then I stop watching the movie. Literally, I do that every now and again.
The funny thing is,
and then never watch
I remember
anymore
when that movie came out, and the first thing I did was I downloaded the soundtrack and I loved it. The second thing I did is I watched the movie, and I think that I closed my eyes or something and listened to the soundtrack and decided that I love the movie, because like Not even years later, like a month later, I watched the movie and I said, Douglas, what is this?
When did Brown Sugar come out?
In like 2002.
Yeah.
Well, 01, 02, somewhere like that.
Yeah,
like, I was in second year of college.
I remember the first time I saw that movie, it was just her voiceover. She's like, she starts every interview the same way. How did you fall in love with rap? And there's 4 solid minutes of them talking to rappers, and they're like,
"Yeah, I mean, Talib is in there.
Talib
isn't Black Thought in there?
Black Thought, yeah. Rakim, De La Soul, Jermaine Dupri, so many people, right? And if they could have just extended that out to like an hour, exactly, to like an hour, and I've gone, this is great. But like every time I skip past it, I went, right. And I just watched the first 3 minutes, hit stop. And then God, the second, Sana Lathan comes on the screen. I went, "All right, I don't watch his movies. This is a terrible movie."
Man, you might can fast forward. I think most of performs.
Yeah, but I have his albums and I have the soundtrack for that movie. I don't care about what happens for the rest of that movie. I think Queen Latifah shows up at some point. Never watching that movie again.
I can barely remember that movie though.
You don't. It's not good. The other thing that I want to talk about, and I can only talk about this with Douglas because Andrew is a moron.
Okay.
Is Luther. Now,
I can tell everyone right now, Douglas has just pulled this back to me, and it's
Douglas,
now a one-on-one conversation, which I will interrupt.
Luther is truly spectacular TV. It is amazing. At first, it was just Idris Elba love, right?
It just bootstrapped,
right,
doesn't it?
Right.
That's what I love about that show. Every episode, there's something new for you to love.
It, like, they hook, they're like, "Look, Idris Elba, we know you'll watch for this. But this is a bait and switch. Not in a bad way, in an amazing way." I do have one problem.
What?
Calm down, sir. Calm down. And it is not a problem with the show. Awesome. I have realized that there might be something wrong with me because I love Alice and I would like to marry her.
She's something.
The first. She is not literally. I dream of meeting her. She's like the prettiest person on the planet. No, Andrew.
By the way, have you watched the second season?
Yes, I've watched all of it. Yeah, yeah. Now, Andrew, I'm going to describe Alice for you. She is white. She has red hair. She doesn't have big breasts. She doesn't have a nice ass. She's not. When you think about the best looking people, she's nowhere on that list. But she's number one for me because of this show. I will watch anything she's in, anytime, anywhere. If I see her on the road, she's getting kidnapped. I can promise everybody. Right? No way. And she's a sociopath and she is amazing. And the rest of the show, there's 6 episodes in the first season. After the 6 episodes, I went, "Holy shit, this show is awesome." And then the second season is 4 episodes and you're like, there's no way they can encompass all the awesome of the first season with 2 less episodes. Wrong. By the end of the fourth episode, he says a line, he's like, between the A, between the L and the R,
yes,
low.
That was amazing. And to tell you the truth, right, at the time, when he said that, I was like, what does that mean?
Even the guy looked at him like, don't you understand dice? And it is so superb. I was in the process of watching Tremé, started watching Luther, and Tremé is stuck. David Simon, I'm sorry. I'm going to get back to Tremaine. Don't worry. But Luther is better. There's no two ways about it. If you start watching Luther, you'll never stop. It is 10 hours. Because unlike in America, when they tell you that, when BBC tells you it's an hour, it's an hour.
Yeah, it's not really an hour. That's true.
All right. not
I only wish that there were more.
It might be an hour. There's one. No. But the good thing about it is there's 10. You can start again.
Yeah, this is true.
And
I was watching this week's Top Gear. I don't know if you've seen this week's episode yet.
Are you going to try and compare Luther?
I'm just talking about the time.
We're talking about Luther here.
I'm talking about time. And they start out the episode explaining that, you know, every once in a while you see the show go like an hour and 2 minutes, hour and 5 minutes. But they've been told today that they have to be 59 minutes on the dot because of some stupidness. And every minute you see them try to pretend to laugh and extend the time and waste time talking about rubbish. And then it comes to the end and then you're like, so what are they going to? And it just ends on the 59 mark, which...
Those guys are idiots. But back to Luther.
Back to Luther.
Because I felt I needed to talk.
Douglas, I don't say this enough to people, but thank you. There's no way I'd have found this show. I don't think. Although it did win some awards.
Yeah, it won a miniseries. Couple of BAFTAs.
Right,
yeah.
But usually when I see TV awards come out, I laugh at myself and go, oh, these guys are wrong. Because The Wire didn't win anything. So you guys don't have a clue what you're talking about. You guys can kiss my ass and die. Terrors also didn't win anything. So your credibility is now zero. Luther is so good. Andrew, I know you think you have better shit to watch. You don't have anything better to start. Just cut the shit, alright? Start watching Luther.
Well, I mean, I just finished catching up with...
Look, I don't care what... Listen to me. You need to be on board with Luther. More... You're the one that does the social networking and the talking to the other people. More people need to watch this. And you're the only vehicle we have. I'm not going to tell people on the internet anything.
You have Google Plus to tell people.
I'm not going to tell people on the internet anything. Fuck those people, right? You obviously like them, right? As Google keeps telling me, Andrew has all these people in his groups. You should probably be friends with these people. Luther is amazing. It is literally one of the best uses of 10 hours I can think of. Sleep isn't a good enough use of 10 hours. Luther, give up sleep for a day. Watch, you won't stop. You'll start watching it, go, holy shit, and then you'll be done. you'll be late for work, but you'll be done. All the performances, all the storyline, the sheer amount of shit that happens in the first 6 episodes is... Literally, like the writing is sharp. Even the people who you're supposed to hate, you can't hate because it's so well written. And Idris Elba, like, I feel that like at some point they went, I think this TV show might be too good, and they gave Idris Elba what might possibly be the worst walk of all time. It is horrendous. Every time I see
a penguin walking with his hands in the pockets.
And then, but you just move on. It's, oh, holy shit. Heel Boot Jack? I think that's his Spring Boot Jack in the second
season. The second season, yeah.
While we're on this Idris Elba love, I'd just like to let you guys know that he is in Ghost Rider 2.
He's in a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, he is. You see, he's actually explained it before, right? I remember the first time I found out that he was actually British and had a British accent, right? Because I'd only seen him in The Wire, I know him as Stringer Bell.
Which makes his acting in The Wire so much...
Right, I mean, exactly.
So much better.
And, I'm about to release a huge, you know, deep, dark secret. I was watching BET. Not just BET, I was watching Rap City in The Basement.
The Basement.
When was this? Was this like 2003 when it was acceptable?
Can you stop mentioning all these details? This stuff that's actually relevant.
Big Tigger, in The Basement.
Boy!
Did Idris Elba do some freestyle that day or something?
I'm sure he did. Because
everybody
does that. So,
pull up YouTube now. Idris Elba,
Idris Elba was in The Basement with Big Tigger.
Of course.
And he was talking in his British accent. And I was like, British? What?
Oh, right, because BT got the rights to show The Wire.
It was from before that.
Oh, from before that.
I didn't even realize that. But
So Tigger was like, seriously, we know that, you know, you're a DJ, which I didn't know. He started off as a DJ in England. And so how, you know, do you go from here and you put on this great accent? How does that work? How did you do that? And he's like, listen, HBO has a great policy. They were probably the most instrumental in me having my American accent there. They do this thing, right? It's called cutting a check.
Yep. Yep. And,
that's what I'm saying. You see him in Ghost Rider.
Cash moves everything around me.
Ghost Rider, I'm sure they cut him a check.
Well, even Michael Caine said that. Michael Caine said, look, the houses that I buy don't come from critically acclaimed movies. it's a job. Just like a lot of people do jobs that they don't like, actors sometimes they have to do jobs that they don't like. Right? Harrison Ford made a fourth Indiana Jones movie, which I saw, even though I tried to disavow knowledge of it. Sunday I came home and saw it on the television and went, fuck! Crystal Skull? What? You idiots!
And that's what's going to happen with the last 2 minutes of Source Code 1.
Oh my god.
I think I just went in and started watching more Luther at that point, just to try and watch all of that shit. But it's still there. Literally, I didn't even remember that there was a physical crystal.
I'd like to tell
there's
you.
There's a crystal skull in the movie.
Damon, you've talked about, you know, wanting to get to the point where, like with Source Code, where you don't remember that there's the last 2 minutes, or right now talking about Indy 4 and trying to disavow. I'd like to tell you a little tip. The best way to do this is called alcohol.
I've seen what alcohol does to people. They start making up words.
Fake stories.
And recency.
Yeah.
I don't know who you're talking about, but sure.
Although, to be fair, last night I heard the best fake word ever. They were holding pageants for Miss Teen Jamaica or some shit. And a woman was on her phone, right? And she said her daughter came first in talentness.
Okay.
I don't think that's very fair, right? I don't think that's very
talentness?
Fair.
Holy shit. Where did she see that?
Don't they know that the word is talenticity? I mean, really.
She came first in talentness.
Really.
I just looked at the little girl and I'm like, oh shit, it's over. I hope you stay pretty, because it's done. You don't have a shot. It's too late. Your mother just said talentless, it's over for you.
At that point, the Joel's brother then grabbed the video and started getting to work.
If only I had a camera. I need to put a camera at the desk so I can capture some of this shit, because people are amazing. Right, so watch Luther. Watch Source Code. And as soon as it's about 5 minutes towards it, you know when it ends.
No, there's a freeze frame. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
The freeze frame.
It slows down and it stops. Just stop it there.
Everything inside of you goes, this movie was amazing. Hit power then, because if you don't, something bad happens.
Yo, that really don't make no sense.
Trailer time.
Trailers of the week.
We should get like the trailer horn.
I was not thinking of that trailer, but sure.
What trailer were you?
No, we were talking about trailers.
Right.
Like movie
and I
trailers.
Said a trailer
so what,
horn.
So what trailer?
Is there another trailer horn?
What horn in trailer?
But that's what I'm saying. What movie trailer would have a horn? Why would you think of
Thank you.
That kind of trailer? I mean, I couldn't imitate the sound as well as Damien just did a while ago. But I knew in my head that that's what he was talking about.
So this week, one trailer that came out.
Was one.
We have lots of trailers, but
fuck.
Haywire, the newest film by Steven Soderbergh.
Oh, I can go sleep.
You sold me out, or you can tell me when I have my hands around your throat.
You should be in her father's living room telling him that his daughter killed a man in cold blood.
Keep your eyes open.
Starring an MMA fighter whose name I can't remember right now. I think it's Cara Garagino or something.
I don't care.
Garagino. As well as a lot of other people that we know.
Are there porn stars in this one?
No. Douglas.
The thing about this trailer is that this trailer is the best example of brand or name loyalty I think you can provide.
Was that test? Is that litmus test?
Yeah, because I watched this trailer and thoroughly, I mean, I did not like this trailer. On top of not liking this trailer, Channing Tatum is in this movie. And after all of that, I'm still thinking of watching it. Why?
Because you passed the test. Directed. You passed the litmus test. Right. You passed it. You passed it. Good work.
So you see, here is the difference. Right? I agree with you. This is a test of brand loyalty. But the thing is, I didn't know Channing Tatum was in this movie, and I watched this trailer like 50 times. I just see a person beside the woman who beats shit out of him. Right? Everyone else is just. I mean, it's just like it's just a shell of a person who says lines so that Steven Soderbergh can put his name on the end product, and it looks like a fucking amazing action movie.
The last time I went down this hole with Steven Soderbergh, it was The Girlfriend Experience. And while Andrew will have you believe that that movie is a movie,
you know,
and
know
B good
that movie, yes.
Don't that movie is it's not good. No, it's not a terrible movie. It's not like an abomination of movie. What it is boring and pointless, and I fear this is the same road he's going down. He can do this because his name is Steven Soderbergh, and he can get away pretty much whatever he wants as long as he doesn't spend a bag of money doing it. People give him money to make whatever he wants, whenever he wants to. And he can call any random person and say, I'm making a movie. And their agent will go, Soderbergh wants you in his movie. No one will ask what the movie's about. They'll show up on Monday, shoot their scene, say the goddamn lines, and then go home. Right? And if Soderbergh pays them, they'll smile. Right? And they go back to work. No, this trailer is terrible, and I'm not doing it.
Wow.
I don't care what anyone says. I failed the test. I'm not going to put myself through this again with him. I don't trust him enough. He hasn't earned it. Yes, he has some good movies that I love, but he also has terrible movies that no one should watch. Right? Girlfriend Experience. What was that? Solaris? Was that the one?
That's the one in space.
Right. Yeah. Did you like that? Was that good for you?
I haven't actually watched all of them.
Oh, why?
I fell asleep watching the movie, and I haven't returned to it, sadly.
Okay. No. The man is a genius, and his movies look good, but no. Mm-mm. Nope. Not this time.
So you don't even trust the fact that he's doing an action movie, and he has decided to cast as the star of this action movie an MMA fighter.
He did a movie about a porn star and casted a porn star.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with anything?
Seriously, Andrew, Don't tell me that.
How does that make it better?
All that does is cast more doubt in me.
No, I kind of think of it kind of like...
Also, she can... Because she can fight, she can act?
No. Think about this, right? Mm-hmm. I know this might be a stretch, especially for Damian. All right, fine. Particularly might not like this example.
Sure.
But Death Proof.
Mm-hmm.
Tarantino decided to make a movie around Zoe Bell.
Andrew, shut up.
Right?
I don't want to hear it.
About a woman doing crazy shit and she's a stunt... She's actually a stunt artist, right? Mm-hmm. And what he was able to get away from that was the fact that since he had cast a stunt artist, he was able to have a lot of close-ups, and you never have that point where you're taken out of the film where you look at the stunt happening and you're like, that's not Tom Cruise on the hood of the car. And that's what will happen with this movie, where you'll be able to watch this woman kicking ass left, right, and center. Right. And you look at it and you know that it's
because her. If there's one thing Soderbergh isn't known for, is telling stories. He's not going to tell her. Death Proof had no story. You do realize that. The first scene of Death Proof is them talking to each other back and forth, right? Which is a Tarantino trope, which I hate. And then for the whole rest of the movie, it's just them driving and doing shit, right? So she didn't really have to act. Pretty much at any point in that movie, Andrew. Now, Soderbergh is not going to do that. He's going to ask her to act, just like how he asked Sacha Grey to act, and that was terrible. This is also be terrible. Until there is a consensus, until everyone goes, this movie is amazing, which I expect because Soderbergh's name is on it. And then I read the bad reviews, and if the bad reviews stay clear of she can't act, then I might watch it. But if there's the bad reviews are going, that she doesn't know what, she can't act and this is nonsense, right? Then I'm going, oh, okay.
Alright, I'm going to go for my last try.
Plus the trailer. Is terrible.
Did you see Michael Fassbender in there? He's in there.
Yes.
I don't care.
Yes, I saw him in there.
I don't care.
He was trying.
He tried to file for divorce but failed. That still did not help.
Yeah.
So is Ewan McGregor, who I love to death. But guess what?
Again.
The trailer looked bad.
Look, Soderbergh can get anyone in his movies. He's proved that with the Ocean series. But this, the lead character, she does not act.
So, okay, last question I want to really ask. When you look at Soderbergh's career and all of his films, you can kind of tell, going from movie to movie, that it's a case of this movie is for the studio, and the next movie is for me, right? Coming in a
Oceans
few months,
is for the studio,
right?
And everything else is for him,
right? Coming, you know, few months' time, we'll get Contagion, mm-hmm. and this movie is coming out in January. Which one do you think is for the studio, and which one is for him?
I think he's finally blurred the lines now. He's just making whatever he wants, and the studios are doing their best job to market these movies to whoever they can.
One movie is a blockbuster with Matt Damon,
right?
Which means
with a lot
it's
of star power.
Mm-hmm. Another movie is
stars a woman
movie,
that we've never seen or heard of
it's
before.
For the studio. So let's not talk about what Soderbergh is doing for himself.
Okay.
Getting paid.
All right.
Wait, I have a question. Is the trailer good?
I love this trailer.
Alright. He's definitely passed the test. He didn't even see the trailer. He saw Soderbergh's name.
Apparently.
And then his brain shut off.
I think
2.5 minutes later,
different trailer
the trailer ended and he went, I have to watch this. There was people. I saw people. Soderbergh's name. I'm going to see this. The last time this happened, it was good. Oh, no, it wasn't.
Actually, I think the last Soderbergh film that came out, I actually didn't like that much, which was The Informant.
Oh, and you know, I actually enjoyed that movie.
Damien is a negative.
I like that movie.
Alright,
like
on.
Matt Damon.
Moving on. Another trailer that came out this week, actually out of Comic-Con, was...
What? There's Comic-Con?
There's Comic-Con.
Holy shit.
Was The Knights of Badassdom starring...
Oh, with a title like that, it must be awesome.
You shanghaied me and dressed me.
Adventuring is exactly what thou needst.
Needst is not a word.
Where we are, it is.
Thou hast been recruited to fight at the epic battle of Evermore.
Welcome
to the fields of Evermore!
You guys do actually look slightly badass.
Eric's about to level up to Grand Sorcerer. I'm packing an ounce of killer shrooms. And there be monsters in need of pummeling!
I'm in.
Huzzah!
But for these make-believe heroes...
Guys, pentagrams? Yeah, we don't roll that way here, all right? This is the LARP, not the Wicker Man we can cosplay.
Something truly evil... ...is taking their fantasy... ...to a whole new reality.
You just summoned a succubus from hell.
Sorry.
Starring Peter Dinklage, Ryan Kwanton from True Blood, Danny Pudi.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
I just know him as Jason Stackhouse.
Jason Stackhouse. We're going to call Danny Pudi from Community, Summer Glau, and Steve Zahn is in this film. And it's about... these guys who go out to LARP, live actual role playing, and they end up magically summoning.
So LARPing is still coming, is still in movies now?
Yes, it is. They magically summon like a real demon or some shit, and then it ends up becoming a real like crazy ass.
No,
didn't they make this a while ago? Didn't they make Your Highness already?
Yeah. Did you watch Your Highness by
now?
I actually haven't seen Your Highness.
No.
I still want to watch it.
I know it's going to be bad. I'm going to watch it.
I actually watched that.
I'm going to watch it,
and
but I've already accepted that it's bad.
I'm so sad. I think that when that movie ended, I cried, and not in a good way.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
But the question, hold on.
Watch
since
more
than Since Douglas is no longer seeing Your Highness, does Your Highness then make you not want to watch this movie? Or does this movie make you...
Okay,
oh.
That's a good question. Your Highness, first of all, makes me wonder if I really... if my faith in people like James Franco... and Zooey Deschanel is warranted, but
wasn't it Black Swan Girl that was in that movie?
No,
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, she was.
Zooey Deschanel is in it as well.
Right.
She's the princess who gets captured.
Right.
If I remember.
I was just making sure, because I know if it was just Zooey, I probably wouldn't have been as excited for that movie.
Yeah,
because you're gigantic.
The funny thing about this trailer is that the trailer actually is pretty decent.
In the same way
that I liked the Your Highness trailer, which immediately puts up alarm bells.
Exactly.
Your Highness, that was not a
I remember
fun
all
experience.
Of us jumping over each other.
Yeah, but we're all I remember saying, yeah, this might not work. Yeah, this trailer is awesome, but this prop is not going to work.
We just love magic,
and
motherfucker.
Yeah. No, this trailer reminds me of it. It feels like it's going to be a movie along the same vein of My Name Is Bruce.
Okay.
That's actually my biggest fear watching
right?
this trailer.
That movie was a little bit bad.
It was horrible.
I was able. To see past the horribleness of that movie because Bruce Campbell was in it.
His name is Chuck Finley.
Chuck Finley. But
so
that was
stupid.
Still a bad movie. But so
can I tell you, I'm very
Chuck
sad
Finley
right
does
now.
Not a good movie.
There's
mate.
No more bear.
Unfortunate. I know. I want some more too. Anyway, but no, the real
no
reason why, I'm so very. Suspecting or pessimistic about this trailer
good.
Is that the way it was described, somebody shared it on Google Plus and they said something along the lines of what was it, this looks like role models but actually good, and once you start comparing something with role models, that was another movie that I wanted to love. I mean, there's David Wayne, there's Paul Rudd.
Wasn't that bad.
Shut the fuck up.
It wasn't that bad. Sure. Way to set the bar high.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't complete garbage. Well, I'll watch this. That's what you say about Transformers. We're not talking about Transformers. We're talking about a movie we want to like.
Thank you.
I'm glad that I've kind of avoided watching Transformers.
Oh, you didn't see the third one?
Still haven't watched the third one.
Have you seen the third one?
No, I haven't.
Thank God, I'm finally getting through to you, idiots.
That's on Cars 2. I've avoided those two movies.
But the fact DVD. That this movie, no matter how you look at this movie,
I think we should
it's
just
only comparable
video.
With that type of movie. It's only comparable with movies that you want to like, but never do.
Yeah, there's a lot of those movies. I have a lot of them.
Yeah, I will probably watch this movie. I will probably hate this movie, and I will probably
try to find reasons to like it.
Yeah, but that won't be there.
I'm going to watch this movie.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of this movie again?
Knights of Badass. I love Peter Dinklage.
It sounds like a name that Danny McBride would give a movie. And that's not a good thing.
It sounds like a name someone in marketing came up with.
We're like, shit, we need a name. Stop
right,
fucking around.
Badass dumb. Yeah. That sounds great.
I love Peter Dinklage. We've seen him in so many things, not to name the latest of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he was in this shitty movie in England. And then he did the remake of that shitty movie. With black people.
Thank you, Damian.
Which was awesome.
I think the only person that I know that hates the original movie.
They're both terrible movies.
That original movie was bad. It was not good.
At any point. At any point.
Loves it so
at any point. It was good. I enjoyed Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
I want to add that I have a weird, that I can't explain love of Steve Zahn.
No, I'm with you on that.
There's so many movies and things that he's in that are bad, but at the end of the day, I just want to like things that he's in.
There's some movie that he's in that I really, really love.
The Fast Getaway or something like that.
He's in Out of Sight, which is another Soderbergh film.
The one with Mr. O.
Perfect Getaway.
Perfect
Getaway. Perfect Getaway.
That was a really good movie. I like that one.
I love that movie.
So just
and Thor is in it.
Who?
Thor is in that movie.
Really? Who? Yeah. Oh, is he the hitchhiker?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whoa, I didn't know that. And Thor just like with this trailer, I want to love this movie. At the moment I see Steve Zahn and Peter Dinklage in the movie, I'm like, and worse, Abed from Community is in. I'm like, I hope he gets some really awesome.
You know who
scenes.
Is in this movie that I like is, so have you guys watched I know you have It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes,
I've seen a couple episodes.
Okay.
Oh, so yeah, I know who
you know what I'm talking about. Do you know the some crazy like family that's almost like an arch nemesis to these guys?
No, I didn't see any of those episodes.
What are they called?
The McPools.
McPools, right? The head McPool is actually in this. He's one of the guys that are doing the LARPing.
Yeah.
And then chickens out when the LARPing becomes
real.
RARPing.
I don't know.
RARPing, really? You're going
real.
Action roleplay.
The L means.
I don't know what L means.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that shit means.
Okay. Okay.
I don't LARP.
All right. RARPing.
Wait, so you have a life, right?
Thank you.
You have a life. Damien.
And this life is filled with watching people
right.
in LARPs.
Whenever movies take on subjects like LARPing and flash mobs, I just assume that they're going to be bad. Because usually they always are. I found out recently that the Justin Timberlake Mila Kunis joint has some flash mob nonsense somewhere in the middle of that movie. And that depressed me a lot because I was looking forward to watching that movie.
Wait, stop.
Friends with Benefits?
Friends
stop.
With Benefits, yes.
Say that one more time.
I was looking forward to watching that movie.
What?
Did
you not watch? No, I hope you didn't watch.
The other one. There's no way.
Okay, no, why is it? Hold on, why is it that you would not watch that one for good reason?
Right.
And yet look forward to the junior version of it?
Right.
The junior version.
Because the junior... I'm pretty sure the junior version was rated R, one. And Justin Timberlake is in it. And he's greater than Ashton Kutcher in almost every way.
I like Justin Timberlake.
And while I have utmost respect for Natalie Portman. No one has chemistry with Ashton Kutcher. So I don't want to see that. Plus, it was rated at PG, so I knew immediately that there was nothing funny that was going to come out of that. This is rated R, and Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake, you can, I mean, they'll have chemistry together. And it looked interesting. I don't think it's going to be a great movie, Douglas, but it seems like a fun watch. And that's all I want out of that movie. Till I heard that there's flash mobs.
You make a good argument.
Then,
just as a sidebar, No Strings Attached is rated R.
That's just make it even sadder.
See, that's the thing. You make a good argument, but that's exactly the argument that I had for No Strings Attached. And
wait, Aston, no. You thought a movie with Aston Kutcher could be good? Where? In what reality?
I think in fact, as I saw Greta Gerwig.
Didn't you see Valentine's Day?
Listen,
no, we didn't. Greta,
that's, I wonder why.
Greta Gerwig was in that movie. Natalie Portman was in that movie. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but Aston Kutcher.
Kelly Kapoor was in that movie.
Aston Kutcher is like a black hole. Did you saw Luther, so you know what black holes do, right? That's what Aston Kutcher is.
I think you should watch Luther, though.
Yes, you do. Like, you don't understand how hard I've been working.
You guys have done your job by eventually making me watch Breaking Bad.
The thing is, when you guys throw lunatic suggestions that I should watch, whenever I listen to the podcast, I go, all right, I'm going to watch an episode to see if these guys are making any sense. I saw an episode of Shadow Law, right? And I'm going to watch that eventually. So I have other things to catch up on, because it seems good.
Yeah. You see, the funny thing about
you guys
is that
when we tell you, when I tell you to watch something, you guys just go, no, no, I don't care.
No, I watch things.
No, him.
Oh, okay.
So bad. Years from now, you go here. Oh, Luther is good. Really? You sure?
He does this with everything, you know, especially like you see our music. What will happen is I'll tell him about a band. And he'll just be like, whatever, dude.
And then somebody on the internet will tell him about the same band.
No, but the funny thing is he'll come to me and he will pretend as if he's educating me. He's like, Douglas, have you ever heard about this thing? And I just smile and pat him on the head.
You should just
be like,
no, you should just go, no, please tell me, Andrew. And while he's doing that, just bring up album covers inside the program. Oh, you mean this man? That says I've listened to already? No, I've
there
never
was
heard
there of. Was even so most of the time he'd actually tell me the name and I'd be like, yeah, Andrew, whatever, I told you about this 2 years ago. But there was actually this one time where he tried to be, you know, an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And he played a song for me and was like, I bet you don't know who this is. And I was like, sounds like Phoenix. And his jaw dropped. He's like, how do you know this? I'm like, Andrew, I listen to music.
Pretty much.
Okay, so Knights of Bad Astom, I think we're all skeptical.
Look, it looks bad. Look, I like all of the people in the trailer, but the trailer looks bad. And the movie surrounding that trailer doesn't see. Plus the name. Guys, it's horrible. It's you like know, Shadow Law.
No.
It's trying
is,
too hard.
You know what this name reminds me of? And I guess it's kind of in the same vein of what I said before. This name is almost the equivalent of, what was it?
Let's appeal to
Double
nerds.
Foot Karate or something like that. What was it?
The Fist Foot Way?
Fist Foot Way, yeah. Yes. That's what it sounds like to me.
Why do you guys keep going back to Danny McBride films that you guys know you hate?
It sounds like, the title sounds like, hey, let's appeal to the nerdy crowd. Badass them.
It came out at
hey guys. Exactly. Out. Hey guys, 18 to 31 demographic. Let's go.
By the way, if no, you really fuck. Wanted to catch me, it wouldn't be the Knights of Badassdom. It would be the Knights of Badassery. Okay? All right.
You need to work in marketing, Douglas. I think you've missed your calling.
I think so, too.
Fuck marketing. I guess the last trailer we should talk about is the trailer for the new Nicholas Winding Refn film, Drive.
If I drive for you, you give me a time and a place. I give you a 5-minute window. Anything happens in that 5 minutes and I'm yours, no matter what. I don't sit in while you're running it down. I don't carry a gun. I drive.
So you just moved to LA?
No, I've been here for a while.
What do you do?
I drive for movies.
Isn't that dangerous?
It's only part-time.
You put this kid behind the wheel, there's nothing he can't do.
Kid, I want you to meet Mr. Bernie Rose.
My hands are a little dirty.
So am I.
My husband is coming home.
Where is he?
He's in prison.
There's some guys that want me to do a job for him, and I'm not going to do it. What is that you got there? One of those men gave you that? What's the job?
Starring Carey Mulligan, Bryan Cranston, and Ryan Gosling.
What did that director do already? I know that name.
His name, before we get any further, he's directed the Pusher trilogy,
right.
Valhalla Rising, and Bronson.
Pusher!
Okay.
Alright, so, with the exception of Valhalla Rising, which I haven't seen, so I probably shouldn't say anything disparaging about this. Bronson, Pusher, and Ryan Gosling. I'm on board.
But that's what I was about to say.
Bias.
Ryan Gosling is in this movie, correct?
Bias.
Yes.
I need nothing more.
Bias.
Alright.
This is me.
It's like he's photoshopped, right?
If he was photoshopped, I wouldn't give a shit.
I really want to see that movie.
I still watch that movie. But, no.
How did they get the two of them together in that movie? It's so good.
Beyond that, though, beyond my Ryan Gosling Bear Goggles
like
nostalgia love, this trailer actually looks really good. Have you seen this trailer?
Yes.
So, I mean, it's about
the
this
one
guy.
Good trailer
it's kind
about.
Of like, yeah. You know what this is? This is kind of like a good version, and
a better
version. Not good.
Don't say
but
it. Don't
a
say
good,
it. Don't
serious
say it.
Version
don't say it.
Of the Transporter.
God damn it.
Douglas. Come here, Douglas. Douglas, you just said some words that literally made no sense. A good, serious version. I was on board. Then you said The and Transporter. I don't know if you've seen any of those movies.
I've seen every single one.
Alright, let me tell you how those movies came into being. Someone said, hey, is that bald guy from England doing anything? No?
No.
Let's go.
That's not how it happened, right? How it happened was, they said, shit.
We can't make Born Again.
This...
But we can do something close, guys.
Audi has money for us.
No, that's how they got it funded. That's how they got funded.
To make a movie about a car. Who can we get to drive the car that everyone will just love, that doesn't need to be able to act? Oh, him? Okay.
How is he not Hitman? I love Timothy Oliphant, but I still don't understand how he was not the Hitman.
He was busy doing Transporter.
There was a The and a title after it, and he wasn't in the movie. He was in
it.
The One. The Bad Job. The Transporter.
That any movie with The and The and
exactly.
No equals a Jason Statham.
How is he?
The Mechanic.
Right?
He
I think Death Race is
up.
The only movie that
no.
didn't have a The.
No. It does.
Blitz.
No, it does have a The. It's just a silent The.
Oh.
It's
a silent The.
It's
and
really The Death Race and The Blitz.
And there's Killer Elite as well.
I'm going to go home and rename both those movies and put that there. It won't change the order in XBMC, which is awesome. But just to see the smile. Except Death Race, because I don't have that. Because it's terrible.
So yeah. Drive. The only one of Nicholas Refn's films I've seen entirely is Bronson.
Look, I want to tell you to go watch Pusher, but I know you're not going to do it, and it's going to give you an excuse to delay watching Luther. Watch Luther. When you finish, then you can go back.
I had tried to watch Valhalla Rising. I got like around 15 minutes in, fell asleep during the color coding that was going on during the movie.
I haven't seen any of them.
Like literally I'm not going to give a real assessment at this point. But
I don't think anybody cares.
Wait, hold on. You didn't like Valhalla Rising for color coding?
No, hold on.
And this
and
is
transitions.
This is different.
We're going back
from,
to transitions.
From
this
13
is...
Assassins, in what way?
Douglas, don't even try. Don't even
You're
try.
You're going to stop talking shit about 13
Assassins. 13
Assassins. Or me and you are going to have an issue.
13 Assassins
By the way, Damon says this while he's waving a pair of scissors in his hands. I think I'm supposed to be intimidated.
There you go.
I think this podcast is going to become infinitely amazing when we go remote.
Yes.
Right? And we start to make up shit that we're threatening each other with.
Imagine a gun pointed at your skull.
When this trailer really sold me, I mean, I was on board from the beginning, from I saw the cast and stuff, but the moment this trailer sold me was when we got the elevator scene towards the second half, when the music changed to this slow, I can't even describe it right now because I can't really remember a word for it, sequencing, and it just matched up perfectly with this elevator sequence where he has apparently this guy who's there to do them harm, and he just pushes Carey Mulligan behind him. He then takes a moment to orally rape this girl, I'd like to think.
I think you chose bad words. Did you hear what came out of your mouth? He just orally raped a girl. Are you sure that is what you want to be left in the podcast?
He kissed her.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure in the context of the film it's completely consensual, but with the trailer I'm allowed to interpret, and I'd like to think that that girl had no idea that was coming, and therefore...
I don't think you should use words like rape when someone is kissing another person. I think you might want to back away from her.
And then he continues to beat the shit out of that guy. And then it shows you a lot of cuts.
I don't think that word means what you mean.
I draw your word picture, but it's that family show.
And it just turns into a really fantastic sequence of moments, and I really love it. And that's what I expect from this movie. I expect this to be final in the movie where Refn... he somehow tapers his art film, his art house styling
to watch
into something a bit more marketable.
Luthor, okay.
Oh right, right.
Pushing Luthor.
Watch Luthor.
Luthor.
Luthor. Forget I just said that. Just watch Luthor.
So you said in a couple of weeks I can watch Pusher.
I don't care. Right? Just watch Luthor. Never watch Pusher. Just watch Luthor.
Not again. Why can't you just die?
Good to see you too, Olivia.
Do me a favor. Unplug the smoke detector. Unplug the green wire.
Oh. What happened to you?
Suicide attempt, not successful. What happened to you?
Heart attack on the fire.
I wish I could pay you back in some way.
I could sign you up as an organ donor.
My whole body. What would you like to start with? A kidney? You just take whatever you needed.
Lucas, you little punk, you're coming with me. I need your help. From the looks of things, you can do with some help yourself.
We spend a lot of time talking about film, obviously, and there are so many actors who we like to talk about for overacting. However, this film proposes two main actors, Bran Cox, who I like to call Sir Bran Cox, and Paul Dano, who... are well noted for their ability to underact a scene in which they don't feel as much that they are trying to make you notice them as much as that you are trying to notice the scene. The question I have to ask is, in a film where it's titled The Good Heart, and the movie is something that we like to mock about movies, has a little bit too much heart to it, does Dano and Cox surpass that trope we hate in film, or does it just walk straight into it? Damien, since you selected the film.
Can I get cliff notes? you lost me about two left turns ago. I think what you're trying to ask is, were the performances subtle or were they too exaggerated, and was the general...
in a very pretentious way, yes.
The general theme or point of the movie, was it too obvious? Yes, to the last part of your question, the general theme was too obvious. It's called The Good Heart, and the movie is not subtle at all. And none of the performances are subtle. However, the movie, it works in this case because the movie only has these two actors to rely on. And it is the bigness of Cox and the shyness of Dano that is being played against each other for most of the movie. I loved the first two-thirds of this movie when Cox was being an evil person. I enjoyed all of that because I've met people like that before. Those people exist. Not to that extent, but I've met enough people who behave like that and view the world like that.
You mean you look in the mirror?
Right, meaning myself. I wish to be like him when I grow up. And I like seeing him turn Dano into this... from an introvert into an extrovert. There was this thing about him getting married midway through the movie that felt out of place for a little bit. And then they kind of worked it in a little better. Not fully though. I think they could have cut that and nothing would have been lost for the movie. There would have been a better way to kind of come up with another conflict between them. But I enjoyed, not the movie on a whole isn't great. It's a good movie. It's like one of those the movie channel movies where you see it and you go, well, this wasn't that way, so my hour and a half. The story is, Cox owns a bar and he's an old curmudgeon who is dying slowly.
As those people should be.
Of course. Turns out his heart isn't that good. Something about him being evil, of course, because the movie isn't subtle.
So Damon, I have to ask you, are you having heart trouble?
I've been having heart troubles for about 10 years. The trouble is it keeps beating at random points, making me feel things for other people. I hate it when it does that, giving me warm feelings and shit. And Dano is a fatalist. He first of all he's homeless. And he's trying to kill himself, which didn't make any sense. Again, movie not very subtle. And Cox takes him under his wing for no reason. Cox explains it away as he wants someone to run his bar, because a bar should never close. It should live on forever. And nonsense. And he takes him under his wing, tries to show him the ropes about being a bartender and how to make coffee and... there wasn't a montage, which I thought there was going to be a montage at some point. I couldn't believe that they didn't get that done.
I saw a montage.
Where?
In the middle, they were playing that song, I Have the Tag Up, you know? Yeah, when they were trying to teach him how to brew coffee, and, like, you know, he did it crap at the first, and then
he ran on the stairs. And you eventually get that image with Brian Cox sitting in front of 100 cups of coffee.
And he runs up to the top of the stairs.
Oh, wait, that might be a different
movie. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You're confused in the movie. This movie, there's just very little subtlety to it. But that is part of what I enjoyed. Until, of course, the heart portion of the show kicks in the third act, and Cox turns into a sap, and we know where this goes. They tried to amp up the whole heart thing at the end of the movie, which felt forced even for a movie as that lacks subtlety as this one. But at the end of the day, I still enjoyed the performances. I've seen this kind of movie already, and it's still kind of fun to watch. It's a good watch. It's nothing that will change your life, I think, although there's no movie that should do that, because if you're watching movies and movies are changing your life, you need to work on that life. So it's not looking very good.
But as I think part of why I like this movie so much is because I love Cox. Oh, goodness.
That's a new ringtone.
Scratch it. Oh, that's. I am a child. I'm 13 years old. I've enjoyed him in everything, so it's. I don't know. I think it's biased. I don't know. I'm not sure whether or not this movie is worse than I think it is because he's in the movie and I enjoy his performances. And even though Dana annoys me at times, I still enjoy all of the movies he's in. Even Gigantic, despite that movie being god awful. As I've rewatched that movie, I don't know why. I have no explanation. It doesn't get any better. Fact, pretty sure I feel worse about watching it the second time. But I watch these movies. There's something wrong with me. But Douglas, I see you looking at me, bewildered, kind of confused. Did you enjoy any aspect of this movie?
This movie, I think, is a melange of... Or
big words.
It is a coming together of so much, a cacophony of so much of I don't make any sense. Mm-hmm. There is no but coming. There is no but. It just don't make any sense. I mean, there's a lot that you pointed it out, right? That a lot of the things that happen in this movie that move it along and that get the story to where it needs to be. Are not just unnecessary, but don't really work. And don't you look at it and you say, why would you do that? And if you think logically, if you try to say to yourself, okay, I'm going to try and come up with a reason for this to happen, it just never comes. Yeah. Right? The first big thing is the fact that Brian Cox, I'm not even going to talk about Paul Dano trying to kill himself, right? Because at least you could say to yourself, all right, listen, this guy's homeless, his life isn't that great, maybe, you know, he looked happy before, but you know what? It's not a nice life. So let's take that at face value. But Brian Cox taking him in is very strange. They try hard to give you a reason because they try and show them bonding a little bit. They show as you said, the flipping the switch scene, as well as the scene where they're like playing frisbee or something like that. But that's a little nonsensical.
They were trying to stay on message. People can change. And they punched that message in the face.
That they did. Also, I mean, things like... First of all, why did a French stewardess who isn't a stewardess walk into the bar and...
You're fixating on the wrong things.
No, hold on.
Remember the barbershop scene. Fixate on the stuff that is funny. The barbershop scene.
I just don't. That's actually my
the
biggest.
The tailor.
Where's your wife?
Those assholes that come to the bar.
No, those are fun scenes, right?
But that is what you need to fix.
But no.
Stop trying to make sense of this.
The thing about that's the thing, right? Like yes, I hear you. There are some scenes in this movie that are nice. Like I like the interaction between the regulars in the bar. I
love him calling the bar, but I forgot. He's going to be 90 years old.
Yeah, I like his kind of dourness towards the general population.
I love it.
But a lot of the key points in this movie, I just don't understand it. And I should preface... Well, I can't preface it anymore. I don't go on a long time. Yeah. But I should say that this movie, I actually started watching this movie a long time ago because it came out last year.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a job close to the end of the year. So I actually had a lot of time to watch movies and decide which movies will I put in my top 10. Because, you know, we always have that top 10 episode. Right. And this was one of those
movies. And it is what the Academy uses to pick their top 10.
Well, I mean, come on, we're just at that level.
We've been doing it for, what, 162 years at this point?
Yeah.
Was it the 167th annual?
This is around the fourth casting I've had for the show.
So I actually started watching this movie because it has the right elements. It has, as you said, Brian Cox. It has Paul Dano. It has Indy stamped all over the trailer. And I think I stopped 15 minutes in when I realized this is nowhere near the top 500 movies of this year. This movie was... I still can't quite like box it into something, but what it really is, it's similar. It's very similar to Gigantic. You know what this is? This is a movie that is trying extremely hard to be indie and fails.
I'm trying to tell you a message.
Yeah, it fails. Not because it's not indie. I mean, I guess it is. It has all the regular, the usual suspects.
We have an indie checklist now.
Yeah, we have a checklist.
Paul Dano
is in it. You've got one big star that may be on the other end of his career. And you've got, you know...
If they have more than six settings, it's no longer indie.
Right.
Yeah.
Two sets. One person doing the entire soundtrack.
This movie just tries a bit never too heard hard of.
And
to be. it tries too hard to be indie, and it kind of
in
falls
Bruges
flat.
Had a midget.
And it's.
So I'm getting you. This is an 8 out of 10 for you.
The funny thing is, even though I don't like this movie, I see no real reason to give it below a 5, right? This is at least average.
It's just,
so I'd give it a 5.5, right?
But it's not like terrible viewing. It's not. It
you know
it
what
this is
though? Like you,
it doesn't
I found
offend.
It very obvious.
Right. Exactly.
And so the whole way through, I was like, really, guys? Really?
There's
no
subtlety
just for that
at all.
Alone, I couldn't.
At all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I watched this movie like a year or two ago when it came out to DVD.
Watch it. Watch it before it came out?
In 2009 when it came out on DVD.
Oh, it came out in 2009?
I think it was 2009. Whenever it came out on DVD, that's when I had
seen
it.
I don't know.
And
back then, I traveled to the future and then came back to tell us about it.
I traveled to the past to travel to the future.
No, because the first time you watch it, you must have jumped into the future, then told us about it in 2009.
I decided not to rewatch this movie for this episode because I remember. Because
you're a jerk. You're like, 2 years! Yeah, things that I saw 2 years ago still fresh in my mind. It's like a fortress. Nothing gets out.
I remember watching this movie and thinking, yeah, I kind of dug the performances, but all the things around that, not really. And listening to you guys,
Brian Cox be belligerent. It's amazing. He's like that in all his movies.
Now that he's older, yeah, totally. You guys talking about this movie reminding me about Bits and Pieces. I'm like. Yeah, I'm happy I didn't review.
Yeah, I'm just
this movie.
Not going to watch this movie. Oh, never mind reviewing it.
I remember the same thing Douglas is talking about how obvious the story becomes as to what's
and
going
if,
to happen.
And if Andrew can tell what is happening in a movie,
you know that
it's bad. It's really bad, guys.
I remember like this might have been the movie that told me
it might
to
have
stop,
been ah.
To stop. Thinking of Paul Dano as a good indicator to a film, because while his performance is fantastic, it doesn't mean that the film is going to be any form of good.
Right, like there will be blood.
Still
trolling that movie.
That movie's amazing.
Still hurts Andrew.
That movie's amazing.
Still hurts him. Still hurting. That's amazing.
That performance by Paul Dano.
Why didn't anything happen in that movie? Where was the blood?
Really, is that the question you're going to ask?
What is going on?
Is that the question you're going to ask?
I went to ask, why did it take 2.5 hours to have nothing happen? That's the question
I should watch that movie again this
year. Yeah, you should. You'll fall asleep, though. Just like that Soderbergh movie.
Whose movie is it next week? Is it mine?
Mine.
Oh, okay. Oh,
shit.
You should probably prescribe. You should probably tell us to watch. I've had too many beers. We were just talking about
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood.
We talked about that movie already.
Talk about it again.
Sure, I'll watch it again. I enjoyed the lead performance. Nothing happened in that movie.
Yes.
But yeah, this movie, it's as Damien and Douglas say, you'll watch it and you won't hate the fact that you watched it. But at the same time, when a week later, you're going to try and remember what you loved about this movie, and you're going to be drawing at straws, honestly. It is, if you have nothing to do that night, rent this movie and watch it, and you've never seen it.
It's clear that I enjoy this movie more than the two of you, because I enjoyed Brian Cox being an asshole to everybody, and hope, and I aspire to be that person.
Is it that it gives you hope that you can one day be an actor in a movie?
It gave me hope for 2/3 of the movie that this movie was going to do the one thing that none of these movies achieve, which is have the person who is belligerent continue to be that person to the end and show everyone that if you're an asshole your entire life, there's not a switch that you flip. You start as an asshole and you'll die.
But isn't that what happens in real life?
That is what I wanted from that movie. But instead, I got him turning. He even says it. That is how unsubtle this movie is. I have to use unsubtle because he literally says, "I become a pansy." He says it. I couldn't believe it.
Can I tell you how much it hurt me when the movie ended and you found out that story of the coffee guy was real? Like, I was hoping that was a made up story that he made to tell the child
about coffee. Why would he lie to him about the guy's home? What point? Why would he lie to him? I don't understand.
I don't know. I just wanted it to be a lie.
Okay. Alright, lunatic. I'm not following your logic at all, but sure.
I drank five 2 years ago
when you saw the movie. Oh, right, because you watched it recent. Oh, no, you didn't.
Wait, sorry. I know this isn't going to work well on radio, but I just saw him out of the corner of my eye. But did he just say, I've had 5 beers?
Yes. Yes.
He held up three fingers.
I said 5 beers. Yep, I've had 5 beers. Okay, I think this. Oh no, he didn't say okay. 5 beers.
Should I do the German way?
To be fair, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can't get it off, Andrew. Ah, bear jokes about impotence. Hilarious.
And on that note, I guess we should say goodnight. Thanks for listening. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
The two of you that are still listening. Got to the end. We thank you.
I'm Andrew. You can find my writings as well as the podcast on Gman Reviews and iTunes and the Podcast Alley. I'm on Facebook.com/GmanReviews and Twitter.com/GmanReviews. You can also find me on Google+. Search for Andrew Robinson and you'll find me. I'll put you in a special circle. Damien is on Google+.
Okay.
Look for him. He's Damien White. Douglas, he's on Twitter.
I'm actually on all of the above. All of the
friends
things that you're talking about.
High five.
Actually, I'm on High Five.
You are a silly bastard.
I deleted my account.
Yes.
Oh, you were.
High Five.
But yes, no, I'm on Google+.
I love
Douglas
about
Robinson,
2 years, every
funny.
Single day I got a new invite.
I'm on Twitter. My name is DJ R Lost His Name. And I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/DJ R Lost His Name. So, yeah.
It's like a concert theme.
It is.
Yes.
I guess that's when we say goodnight. Mm-hmm. Please drink more beer, because you just spent
an
hour and a half listening to us talk gibberish.
Consuming alcohol never ends badly.
Why would it?
I don't know.
I mean,
that's why it's legal.
I mean, if you're good, you'd be drinking whiskey right now. But,
I mean, if beer was damaging in any way, the government would not allow me to drink it, right? Right?
Exactly.
So thanks for listening and good night.
Smoke weed.
All night long. These streets are old, they shine with the things I know. And breaks through the trees, they're sparkling. Your world is nothing more than all the tiny things you've left behind. So tenderly, this story is nothing more than what you see. What you've done will become. Standing strong, you along in your skin, just wondering. Gentle now, a tender breeze blows, whispers through Gran Torino.
Whistling. I told you about
what happened. You'd literally love the movie.
The movie
is that point.
I don't think there's any contest between that movie and Moon. Moon is like hands down the better film, but that movie was still decent. Source Code.
I know Moon is better, but I still love this. I've always wanted more movies like Groundhog's Day, and I enjoyed the sci-fi twist in this one until they fucked everything up. I saw some other shit, but no one needs to hear about that.